Hey guys, welcome to the podcast.
Oh shit, was the mic on?
We've got stories.
We
yes,
do.
Yes, we do. We've got stories sent by you.
Oh my god.
I can't help it. I'm a little slap happy. So, welcome to it.
Are you starting? Am I starting? I'm happy to start if that is your desire.
It's my desire.
All right. Well, your wish is my podcast content. So,
woot.
Here we go. This first submission comes from Jill. This is going to be a long
Jill.
One, y'all. Hello, Jill. This is going to be a long one, y'all. So, time to re-up on drinks. Oh, honey, you don't have to tell us. Mother's Day just passed, and on behalf of my mom, I would like to submit another story. Unfortunately...
Woohoo, moms!
Right,
thank you for
yay.
Following our directions and asking your family members.
Woohoo, moms that don't try to hit servers at Red Lobster. Unfortunately, I couldn't go to see her last Sunday because I am at high risk and she doesn't want me to get sick. Very thoughtful. See, she's a good mom and you're a good daughter for listening to your mother. So we spent the day FaceTiming and listened to the podcast together. Oh, we're bringing families together, Jamie. Now, my mom and I always talk paranormal, but through your podcast, we discovered each other's secrets. We're both sensitive. I love this. I give Carol...
And they had never talked about it?
That's so great.
That's cool.
It's like coming out to your parents and they go, yeah, me too. Lucky you. I give tarot readings so accurate, people get weirded out and they think they're being pranked. My mother is a medium and can speak with the dead. This is where we joked how I looked out and only see them here and there. She gets to speak with them. At this point, we spent the rest of the call telling each other's ghost stories. And with her blessing, hi, Mom. After hearing my stories read on your show, it's my mom's turn. My mom grew up as I did, born and raised in Chicago. She grew up in both Bridgeport and Canaryville, if you've ever seen Shameless, that town. When she was six, she lived in a duplex with my grandma, grandpa, four uncles, and one aunt. Oh, my God. That's like a... that's a lot of people to have under one roof. It's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. My mom was the baby, so she would always follow her siblings around. My eldest uncle was 15 when my mom was six, and he thought it'd be funny to lock her in the basement. Oh, hashtag fuck anyone who will lock you in a basement. As they lived in the bottom apartment of the duplex and they had access to it, Chicago basements are rarely furnished as they leak like hell, so this one was just used for storage. In that room was the old tenant's rocking chair, spinning wheel, a furnace, an old-timey stove. My mom said the man that used to live there was, quote, an old lonely bastard who died as he lived, pissed off and hating everyone. And when the door was locked, she could feel that she was not wanted. So she banged on the door, and no one answered. She screamed for my uncle to open the door, but he put all his weight on it and laughed, telling her that they would only open the door if she promised not to tell. And when she agreed, she could hear the lock turn, but the door never opened. Even when she turned the knob, and even when the furnace kicked on down the stairs, and she wants to emphasize that those stairs had no railing on either side, and they had spaces in between them. She yelled to my uncle, it wasn't funny, and she wanted to come out now. But she found herself walking down the stairs. By the time she looked around, my mom said she felt panic. The rocking chair started violently rocking. The spinning wheel spun as if someone had played The Price is Right with it. And the stove started to pop and steam and hiss. My mom said she doesn't remember anything else because she passed out. When she woke up, she was being carried up the stairs and out of the basement by her dad. From what my uncle say, they could hear her screaming from outside on the front porch, begging to be let out. My uncle was grounded for 3 weeks and told if anyone went...
Yeah, screw that, uncle.
Fuck that kid. And was told if anyone went into that basement, they were all getting an ass beating. So not to play and get each other in trouble. Hashtag fuck a basement. Ooh, Jill.
Wow.
Jill. And Jill's
Your poor mama.
Mom. Sorry, she had to get 6 years old, too. What a mean thing to do to a child. Man, teenagers are the fucking worst. I mean, I say that with love for all of our teenage listeners, but man, if you have younger siblings and you lock them in basements, fuck you.
Yeah, at six, I feel like at 15, you would know better.
You should.
Right?
Like, you should know. Kind of like,
shit.
A decent human being knows better by 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and maybe, you know, benefit of the doubt, they didn't think about it being royally haunted. But I feel like even haunted, in your teens, you should know basements are haunted. That's a thing. Not even, know it.
Even apart from the basement being haunted, like, there were no railings on the stairs. That six-year-old could fucking fall and break her goddamn neck.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me so mad. Sorry, the hall monitor in me is really pissed at her 15-year-old uncle.
Yeah,
right now.
Me too.
Sorry, Jill. Yeah. I'm sure they've grown up to be an upstanding citizen, but at 15, garbage.
We're glad your mom's okay.
Yes.
From that situation. Okay, next we have Nathan.
I was very passionate. I'm sorry, Jill. I love your family, I guess. I don't know. I love your mom. I love you.
We love whoever you want us to love. We trust you. If everybody, for the assholes in your family, you let us know. We'll believe you. Okay, so Nathan, this was unexpected. I am a pastor of a Baptist church. I was like, what?
Oh, Nathan, I'm so sorry you listened to me rant and rave the way I do. I feel so bad now.
Be yourself. I have been in church my whole life, but being raised in the South and being around superstition, I have no trouble believing in the spiritual world. I married a woman who was a former practitioner of tarot and some witchcraft, and she told me what I already knew and that there are tangible results that come from both. Mm-hmm. They are not playthings. They can and will affect a person in a myriad of ways.
Uh-huh.
I work at a factory, and we constantly have temporary workers come through. Everything from retirees who are looking for some kind of steady work to supplement their 401k to the other end of the spectrum. Like the time we had a carny that worked for us, he had a few stories.
I bet.
Chris and Laura came to us one summer, and I worked with them both in various positions around the plant. The normal thing to do during those days was to get to know the people you worked around and get their stories. We had so many passing through that summer in particular that it was just interesting to get to meet people I wouldn't have otherwise met. Chris was a hustler, or at least he had been. He always watched people, and upon a long day painting parts for work, he told me of various schemes that he had cooked up in the past. Laura had lived with her dad in New York and had for a very long time. She and Chris had moved in together, and that's when Laura wanted to find her mother. I want to take this time to explain that Laura was a practicing witch. She told me later that she was surprised to find out that her mother and her grandmother both were practicing witches as well. Interestingly enough, Laura had no knowledge of this beforehand.
Ew.
At the time this story takes place, my wife and I lived in a house that was odd. It was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house that at one time had a functional dairy underneath it, but had long ago been converted into a basement for storage. Ooh, what basement?
Sensing
nonsense.
A theme.
It was a completely normal house, except from time to time, things would happen that would be off. We had just had our son when this event took place. I've been sharing my faith and talking spiritual matters with Chris for a while, and when he saw that I could answer some of his questions, we talked more frequently about his spiritual questions. I don't think that Laura liked it, or even me very much, but she was never rude or otherwise hateful. I just went on doing my job, and when Chris had questions, he would come and talk to me. I wasn't super pushy. I shared my faith, and after that, I just kind of let him bring me questions, which tends to be my method. My routine while my son was a baby was that I let my wife and son go to bed, and when he went to sleep, I put him in his crib and let my wife sleep while I washed the bottles and steamed them and got them ready for the next day. I had done this and laid down for the night when I had just started to drift asleep. When somewhere around 2 a.m., I felt a cold breeze move over my left foot and up my back, and it seemed to land beside my head. I heard a voice, not audibly, more like an internal monologue. What if you rolled over and your wife was someone else? Oh. My response honestly shocked me. I would choke them out.
I mean, fair.
Yeah, I immediately grabbed this thing around the neck and squeezed the life out of it. I realized there was a real possibility that I was choking my wife, and I let go and snapped to my senses. I was still lying on my stomach, my wife breathing softly beside me. The gentle hum of the baby monitor let me know nothing else was out of the ordinary. I had tensed so hard in my dream, and it had been so vivid that I had ground my teeth and tightened my neck and arm muscles so tight that they were hurting. If I had choked her like that, she would have been seriously hurt. I chuckled uncomfortably, said a prayer, and went back to sleep.
Oof. Oof.
The next day, I went to work like normal. I worked at my usual station till lunchtime, and it was on my way out the door that I saw Chris for the first time that day. He looked like he hadn't slept and just had a half-scared, paranoid look about him. As we walked to the time clock together to clock out, he stopped. I asked him how he was doing, and he replied, "Not good." I told him he looked worn out, and he acknowledged that he was. What happened next floored me. He unzipped his jacket enough to show me his neck. He had bruises all the way around his neck as if something had nearly choked him to death.
Oh!
I asked him what had happened. He said that the night before, he was in bed when something jerked him out of bed and was trying to choke him to death.
Oh!
Laura had told him he was growling the whole time and that when it let go, a voice told him he had a week to live. I asked him what time this was, and his reply left me even more dumbfounded. "It was about 2 a.m., he replied.
Oh.
I looked him in his terrified, wild eyes and said, "Chris, about 2 a.m., I choked something half to death in my bedroom in a dream." His response was a loud curse word, which I will not repeat, and then he asked the question.
I bet it was, "Fuck."
Yeah, I bet that's what it was. I mean, yeah, that's what it was.
There, I'm saying it for you, Pastor Nathan, so that you don't have to.
That's right. And then he asked the question, "What does that mean?" I told him I didn't know, but if it was possible, I would try to talk to him later in the day. The chance came for us to work together, and I went over to get him as soon as I said his name and motioned for him to come to me. A feeling came over me that's hard to describe. I was all at once hot and nauseous and cold and clammy. It felt like I was wrapped up in a wet blanket, and at the time, it felt like an evil spirit was literally breathing down my neck. I recognized it because it was the same feeling as it was the night before when I was in bed. We talked, and Laura came out from where she was working, and she was very odd. She wouldn't look at me much, and she spent a lot of time talking to Chris in little whispers and peeps, avoiding my gaze, and, it seemed, to draw Chris out of the conversation we were trying to have to figure out what was happening. Chris and I talked off and on over the next couple of days, and on the second day, I was once again up late in the dark house, washing bottles under the little fluorescent light over the kitchen sink, when out of the blue, I felt it again. The dread, the sickening feeling, the hot and cold mixture, and worst of all, the oppressive and overbearing presence right behind me. And again, I could almost feel its breath on my neck. I had enough. I put my things down, and I went into the bedroom and prayed until the spirit left. The next morning, I saw Chris, and he looked like a new person. He told me that around the same time as I was being visited, he had a late-night conversation at his house. I feel as though the spirit came to me to try to intimidate or scare me further because he had lost its sway over Chris. Just so you guys know, I am not an overly emotional person. I try to stay as even-keeled as possible, and I try to be as sensible as possible. But this experience made me rethink a few things about how I perceive the spirit world. While a few other stories are swirling in my head about that house, this was by far the most harrowing for me. I don't fully know what battleground there is at the edge of sleep and awake, but there are things there that I don't care to deal with anymore. Just so you guys know, I just started listening to the podcast and I love it. Thank you so much for doing them. I enjoy the storytelling and I enjoy the candid conversation. Keep it up. Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan. Yeah. Oh,
God, what a great story.
Oh, I know. That's
terrifying.
So crazy.
That's
imagine,
and I'm just, this other guy, Chris, like what a great story he has. Be like, yeah, I got spiritually choked out by a pastor.
Tricked into it.
Yeah, he was. I'm kidding.
right.
I mean, man, what a story.
Yeah. That's crazy. And I love that Laura's like kind of keeping her distance, which I'm sure to him felt suspicious, but to her, he was probably bad news.
So
you spiritually tried to, choke my boyfriend. So I don't trust you anymore. I'm sorry. So weird.
Man.
Good story, though. Really good story.
I mean, sometimes you got to have I have a hand with the flock.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so cool that Pastor Nathan listens to our show and probably thinks I'm going to hell. Just for nothing else, the way I talk. But I appreciate your willingness to listen to me. You're obviously a good pastor.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jamie.
Did you know that we don't have any commercials in this podcast?
I do, and I think that's something we should be proud of.
Right. We now have a commercial in this podcast.
God damn it.
It's for our Patreon, though. It's for us.
Oh, that's different. It's for us. It's not a commercial. It's an infomercial.
That's right.
It's an extension of what we already do.
Exactly. So we want everybody to know that we do have a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/ghoulintentions. And you can help support the podcast there. We're not doing commercials, which is where a lot of people make a lot of money. But right now, we want to make sure that we maintain no commercials for you guys, except for this one. So the way that Patreon works, if you don't understand, it's a way that people can support art and artists financially so that they can keep doing what they love. This podcast is something we love. We would love to keep doing it. It does take time and a lot of effort, and we do pay our engineer, Matt. So anything that you can do to help us, we would really appreciate it. We have several different tiers. Starting at $8, you can become part of our Discord. Discord is like an online chat, and it has some really cool things. There's a whole community that started there, a really great support system. There's a section where they talk about anxieties. Michael has a book club on the higher tier.
It's really fun, and it's a great way to just kind of talk to people, and it's a great way to reinforce the Ghoul Intentions community too. Most of you are probably familiar with Discord, but I love how much you can customize it.
Yes. And so one of the things that we do is we have chats. So at the $8 level, you can get on Discord. At the $20 level, you're a Phantasm member, and that is $20 a month, but you become more of an integral part of the podcast. We take topic suggestions from them. They also get the truth is they get priority with ghost story readings.
I mean, it's true.
There's also the titles. A lot of titles we have are suggested by our Phantasm members, and that's where the book club is. So what we do is twice a month, we have chats with those Discord members. The first chat of this month will be on Tuesday, the 19th of May, 2020.
So looking forward to it.
Yes, it will be at 7 p.m. Central. And we will chat. You guys can ask questions. It's kind of a Q&A about the podcast and ghosty kind of things. And it lasts about an hour. And that is for everyone on the Discord.
Yes. And we've done it a couple times, and it's really, really fun.
It's really fun. It's really, really cool. On Tuesday the 26th, we have another one, but that's for the Phantasm level and higher. It only goes to that. But we have another chat scheduled for them on the 26th on a Tuesday. And then, as a special to everyone, on the Discord, because we don't have conventions right now and people aren't getting to talk about, you know, anime and cartoons and video games, the things that we do outside of the podcast, we're going to do a third special chat on Friday the 29th, also at 7 p.m. All of these are going to be at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, just so we can talk. It's an all skate. You can just ask whatever. You can talk about whatever. And it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So if you can, please support us at... on our Patreon, Ghoul Intentions. Thank you so much to everybody that is listening and being supportive and sending us good energy, because Lord knows I need it technically.
And I need it just emotionally as well as...
That's right.
But thank you guys. We love doing this show, but you guys can really help us make it really amazing, even more amazinger than it already is. And we love supporting the community that's kind of grown up around it. So that'll really help. So if you can, please take part. We'd appreciate it. And help us, you know, come up with more content.
That's right. Okay. Moving on with the rest of the show.
Okay, so our last submission, because we had some long ones, so we're just doing three today, comes from Emily. Yay. Here's an update on the movie theater ghost that I shared, that I share a workplace with. Since quarantine happened, the theater I work at has closed its doors and reopened as a drive-in theater, making sure we keep people in cars and employees have masks and gloves. So, God, what's that like? You must not work in Texas. But while the movie plays, we employees have nothing to do but clean, and we ran out of things to clean a while ago, so we go ghost hunting in the now abandoned theaters. I found out real quick that I am not the only one with the Oh, I lost my place. Damn it, Tatum. I found out real quick that I'm not the only one with paranormal experiences, but not only the only one. Excuse me. I found out real quick that I am not only the only one with the most paranormal experiences, but the bravest amongst the five other coworkers I have. Go figure. I also have anxiety, especially towards the paranormal. Isn't that always the way? So I downloaded a ghost hunting app and took my coworkers through the pitch black theaters to see what we could find. Two nights ago, we may have found something. We headed to a theater that gives everyone a bad vibe. My app on, waiting for words to pop up. When it gave us the word 9. After a while of no activity, we assume it wants us to go to theater number 9. And as soon as we get in, we get the word up. Oh, we look up at the ceiling, the projection booth, and the top row of seats, but we don't see anything or get any more words, so I decided maybe they mean they want us to go up to the top row. I walked up the steps and say, hi. I get the word elderly. I get the impression that we are talking to a ghost I've seen before that several other employees have seen, but we get nothing else for the entire time we search the theaters. Next night, we check in on Theater 9. My ghost app is running. Even though we don't get any words, I still get the feeling that I have to go up the stairs. But this time, I stopped halfway. I swear I saw someone sitting in a chair. I can't see anything through my phone camera, but I see with my own eyes the outline of an old man sitting in one of the chairs. He seems to stare back. It felt like we were looking at each other for a long time, but it was only a couple of seconds, actually. I turn my head to look at my coworkers and turn back to an empty seat. I walk back down and tell them that I don't know if I was just seeing things, but I saw something sitting in that seat. I almost shut myself when another person said she saw the same thing. And at that, we left and we got the words battle and heaven. Oh, I'm sure we'll get more encounters before this quarantine is over, and I'll send them your way when they happen. Stay spoopy, Emily. Ooh.
Ooh.
Emily, I feel like if you've gotten the words battle and heaven on your phone in this theater, maybe consult Pastor Nathan to see what he says about it.
Yeah, right.
If he has some experience.
You know, you never know.
Oh,
I love that, though, you just go around with your ghost app on in your theater. I think that's fantastic.
Man, I haven't done that in a while. I want to do that. I still have that app on my phone, and it's so much fun. It's so, it does, I mean, it doesn't really.
We just
I
have
don't
to be able to go somewhere.
I have much luck with it myself, but I don't know, do it late at night. Now that we have this haunted fucking dress form in our house, thank you, Devin.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And he's adding to the props. There's now like a wig head that he has on a mic stand, so because the wig is so long, it needs to hang down by about 5 feet. So there's like this floating like head with this white ghostly like fluffy wig. So in the dark,
a little bitch in white.
Uh-huh. It's not little at all. I'll show you a picture. It's about my height. It's fucking crazy, but I love it. I love it. I feel like I'm living in the Addams Family home now. Just, I guess, always been my
Yay.
Dream.
Okay, so we have a little time. We wanted to talk a little bit about something that happened this week.
Yeah.
So everybody knows about our little pack.
The pack.
The pack. We have the Alphas, Leela. And then my two Boston Terriers, Dot and Dexter, and then the two Frenchies, Gus and Gingy. So, Tuesday, Leela passed away.
Yeah, she was an old girl. She was 18?
At least. She might
18.
Have been 19. I
so
had her
was,
for 13 years.
She was ancient.
And I think she was 5 or 6 when I rescued her.
She was ancient.
So I just want to talk about Leela a little bit.
Yeah.
So I rescued her because I had wanted a Shih Tzu specifically. I had some friends that had rescued a Shih Tzu, and his name was Hilo, and he was adorable. And so I like to think he was waiting for her as she crossed over. But I got her, and this woman, the crazy thing is, she was very close. Like, she missed being put to sleep in the shelter by hours. So the woman went to pick up some dogs, and she had just been released. Like, they have to hold them for 72 hours so that if a family member comes, then they can adopt them. And if nobody adopts them within a certain amount of time, they will euthanize them. So she had just been free for a few hours to be adopted. And this woman came in and saw her and said, well, I want to take her. And she couldn't fit any more dogs, so she was going to come back the next day. And when she came back the next day, because they weren't euthanizing the dogs for like a few more days, they had done it early. And so all the other dogs were euthanized. And so she, had she not gotten Leela that day, I wouldn't have ever gotten her.
Yeah.
So I got her. And I was a little worried about her health because she's a little thing. She's 11
she's
pounds.
Tiny,
and she only had the one eye. Tiny, yeah. And she could see out of the eye at the time. But I had to leave her with my brother, Jean-Luc, and go into the studio. And he messaged me and he's like, I think this dog is dying. She's shitting blood. And I was like, what?
This is right after you got her, right?
It was right after I got her. The woman that had rescued her, the food that she gave her dogs was red. And so, and she was anxious with all of the changes. So, you know, dogs get nervous. Their poo gets runny.
They have stress.
So it looked like
stress colitis.
Yes. But she chilled out pretty quickly and has raised in our family so many dogs. Like, it's like everybody wanted to have their puppy or their new dog around Leela because she would regulate. And she yes. taught manners. And even dogs that had never, when Caitlin Glass came over to record for the podcast last year, she brought over her dog, Torito. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of meeting Dot and Dexter and was not really impressed with them. But when Leela came up to sniff him, even though she's blind, he froze. And she sniffed him up and down and all around and wagged her tail at him and then left. It was allowed. And then he continued to move. But it's like he didn't know her, but he knew she was the one in charge. I lived with one of my friends had a pit bull. And she was very excitable. And they think that they're, though, much smaller than they are. So she would come running in to look out a window or something and run over Leela. She did it twice. And she never did it again because when Leela would hear her run, she would just start yelling at her, just like, rah, rah, rah.
And slow then down. Ruby,
yeah, then Ruby would get
damn
her feelings
kids.
Hurt and she would go to the corner and then Leela would go tell her it was okay a little while later. Like she let her go to the corner for a little bit to learn her lesson.
Go think about what you did.
Yeah, and then she'd go tell her everything was all right. So she was such a good, great, wonderful dog, and I'm so happy that I got to have her for such a long time. But after 18 years, I mean, I knew it was coming. We all know that that's coming.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I thought that there would be more of an indication.
It happened so quick, which I guess is a good thing because it means she wasn't suffering from some lingering thing. She was just old, you know, so she didn't get around as good as she used to, but she was a happy dog.
Yeah, she'd still go up and down the stairs.
Still,
I mean, she's been
regulating.
Blind for 10 years, I guess she'd been blind, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So she got around just fine. She went up and down the stairs. She figured out where things were. And
she was fucking Houdini. She would like wind up in places where like, how the fuck did you even get there? Like a sighted dog
also,
can't fucking do that.
You couldn't put her in somewhere. You could not shut her off. She would destroy anything to get out of it. She chewed through a wooden gate to get out of, like, I had put the gate up to keep her and the other two in the kitchen. She chewed a hole in it until she could get it loose. She was savage. So, but yeah, we also were joking, the past 6 months or so, we've been saying she's been practicing her death pose so that like Law and Order, when we come around, we find her and be like, ah, but she has this little princess bed and she would lay on it and lay her head off of the bed with her tongue hanging out, like all the way out.
No.
And she never really, you know, was a tongue hanger. Dexter, his tongue just won't fit in his mouth. It's so big. But hers would just dangle out. And we're always like, oh, you know. And I think she was just messing with us. But it finally,
oh,
it was,
yeah.
It was sad. We weren't.
And you know what's so bizarre about it when, you know, the day when it happened is that, you know, of course, our dogs, Genji and Gus, haven't seen, you know, haven't been with the pack in a couple of months now because of quarantine. And they miss you guys terribly, by the way. But like they were acting strange yesterday. Our dogs are creatures of routine, and they're not yesterday, day before. They were they were acting really odd. They wouldn't. It's like their routine was upset, so they just kept sitting there looking at us like, "What's going on?" Which is weird. You know, dogs have that very specific look where they're like, "What do we do now?" And they kept looking at us like that all day, which is unusual. Like, Gus will do that occasionally, but not if it means missing a nap. And they were just strange. So it feels like they knew that a pack member had crossed the rainbow bridge. Which I love that phrase because it makes it sound like Leela's in Valhalla now.
Right. Yeah, that's what Jack was saying. I was like, people say that a lot. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, you have to put them down. I hate that phrase. I hate it so much now. Because I feel like we weren't putting her down. We were letting her go, you know? And because it was just heart failure, and mm-hmm. we could have put her through a lot, and the prognosis was poor. And, you know, based on how quick it was, poor prognosis was probably, there wasn't anything we could do.
And why prolong her suffering needlessly just to hang on to a few more weeks of life?
Yeah, and you can tell if you ever have a dog that starts kind of panting with their mouth closed, this is what happened. She was breathing really rapidly and sticking her chin in the air to get breaths, and you could feel her chest kind of compressed because everything was being used to get her air. And that's, you know, when we took her in, we knew something was really wrong. And interestingly, when we were talking about it and I was holding her, and we said, I think we should take her in, Dot got up and went and got in her crate.
Which she only does when she's nervous.
Or when she knows you guys are. She hasn't until now. It's when we leave.
Yeah.
She knows to get in when we leave. And so periodically, she keeps going and getting in her crate, waiting for us to go. And so I feel like she's waiting for us to go get her.
Hmm. Aww. Yeah,
which is so sad.
It's sad because I know Dot always worried about Leela.
Yeah, she did. Anytime, because she would have kind of a reverse sneeze, and Dot was always there to, you know, I joked about she was ready to be alpha, but she was always checking on her. And that whole day, both her and Dexter were really like right next to her, checking on her, nuzzling her. Dexter was giving her kisses, and she was letting them, which was interesting. So. But anyway, I know that she's kind of part of the Ghoul Intentions family, and everybody's heard about her. Yeah. So I wanted to tell a little bit more about my little nugget, my alpha bitch, little pounds of alpha bitch. I think we had one dog, one of my mom's small dogs, tried to come up against her, and she backed down real quick. So it's just always so funny to me, no matter the size of the dog. Leela was the one in charge.
Leela was she was indisputably the fucking one in the queen. And all dogs knew it. It was funny watching Genji interact, because Genji is a big dog. Like, for a Frenchie, he's like 35 pounds of pure muscle. And he was just kind of, he doesn't really care. He'll just bowl through other dogs. But, like, he would always go out of his way to avoid Leela, because he's like, nope, don't want to piss her off.
Yeah. Well, and also, though, I think she would just mess with them. They would be playing and roughhousing, which she couldn't do. She used to do the zoomies. She'd get the zoomies, right, where they run around and bark and bark. She used to do that when she could see. But after she couldn't see, what she'd do instead is wait for other dogs to do it, and then she'd just stand at the side and bark at them as they passed her. Like, that was how she got into it.
It's like, bark!
So that developed into, y'all better stop it. She got older.
It was such the angry big mama. Like, y'all damn kids, keep it down. Trying to sleep
in
here.
I think she would just play her power, right? Like, she'd just walk into the middle of play and just break it up. They would just, every dog would go the opposite direction and
so
leave her space.
Funny.
There was one time that Genji was laying down, and there was only one way out, because I think I had some boxes packed up. And so there was only one way out of this particular area. and Lila was blocking the way, and I kept trying to tell him to come on, and he was just sitting there. He refused to move until...
He's like, I'm not crossing her.
I'm not crossing. No, I'm not going to cross that path. It was just so funny. It was so funny. But, you know, every morning she would play a little bit with Dot. Like, yeah. Dot was her favorite to play with, and so they would play just a little bit. That was it. That's all she needed, just a little play. And then and then she turned into the cat. She was.
And she loved French fries.
That's her favorite thing in the world. She could be upstairs and we would have French fries in the house and she would come down the stairs to find the fries. Like, she just knew. That was her special skill, was knowing if there was a French fry anywhere near. But she was also really, like, she was really social.
Yeah.
So I remember this big party I had. It was, remember that Mardi Gras party that I had?
Uh-huh, yeah.
With Clarine forever ago?
Yeah, yeah.
She was just walking around. 80 people were in this house, and she would just find someone and paw on them until they picked her up, and then she was good. And then they'd put her down, and she'd go find someone else.
You there, plebeian, pick me up.
Yeah, yeah. She's been around for such a long time. It's,
yeah,
it's gonna be weird and a little different.
Well, of course. She's probably still hanging around. You know,
Yeah. You'll
hear it's very frequent. Like every time I've had a dog, lost a pet, like I still feel them and, you know, hear them and see them in the corner of my eye sometimes. I mean, they just become so much part of your gestalt, you know, the how you see everything, that it takes a long time to get used to their not being there, because they still feel like they are there, and they probably are in some way. So,
well, you know, with any luck, maybe she's keeping a Wendy company. Right.
Maybe. Hey, Lila, if you can hear this, and I fucking know you can, help us help us generate some content for the podcast. Just give us a nice, like, unmistakable Lila bark at some point during a podcast. Just please. Just that's all I'm asking. Please, Your Majesty.
She had a very particular bark. When she was done with your shit, it was, let me in! Hey! 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 It was very insistent. She knew what she wanted.
And how to get it.
Yeah, she was pretty great. Very, lots of personality, that little dog.
Yeah.
And cuddly and so sweet. She was so sweet. To humans, much, much sweeter than she was to dogs. Terrified other dogs, but people just were butter, you know, turned to butter with her. She's so great.
Anyway.
So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Thanks
for telling us.
Just to let everybody know. Our pack is one less member.
Yeah. One less member. In the flesh, at least. The pack is still together. Lila's just calling the shots from the other side now.
Yeah,
she's still the head bitch.
Yeah, yeah. Don't tell Dot that. Nothing ready.
she's probably giving Dot pointers right now.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, okay. Thank you, guys. And for those of you who commented on Twitter and stuff, I've read everything, and I just really, really appreciate, you know, the kind words. It's a hard time, and I appreciate everybody who gets it too. So thank you for that. Thank you for sending in your stories. Please keep sending them in.
Yes.
And we will keep reading them. And I guess that's all I have. You got anything?
No, that's cool. Thank you guys for everything as usual, and we'll see you in the next one.
That's right. And remember,
it's okay to sleep with the lights on.